Hello, and welcome to this half-hour dose of weekly Jewish spirituality. Jews have a tradition of praying three times a day, and at Mishkan, we have a daily virtual minyan at 8 a.m. Central to get your day started. Folks join us from across the country and across the world as we begin each day with words and songs of gratitude, inspiration, healing, and Torah. Without further ado, I invite you to breathe a little deeper, connect a little more with yourself, with God, with Torah, with this community, and with the world around you, wherever you are, whatever your time zone.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall follow Moses' path? Oh Lord, show me the way. Oh brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
Get up and dance now. Good morning, everybody. Oh, there goes my pig. Good morning. Nice to see everyone. Boker Tov, people. Oh, I want to invite us, you know what, I'll pull the screen down for a moment. I want to invite us in. I feel like that was very energizing. I was energized by that. Go ahead and take a few breaths here of energy, banjo energy, tehalelia energy, hallelujah energy, which just means praise. This was actually where I wanted to begin this morning. Take a few breaths deep in your belly. Let those breaths elongate your spine and let your shoulders relax, whatever position you happen to be in. Someone wrote to me last week and said, I'm listening to you from the train, just like you said. You know, that sometimes we're listening to you from the train and maybe you think like people are going to look at you funny when you sit up a little straighter, breathe deeper, close your eyes. And then I said, I promise you, nobody cares and nobody's watching you. And she wrote, she was like, you're right. Nobody cares and nobody's watching me. So whether you're alone at home or whether you are in a crowded place, remember that you get to claim your own space here. And you know what? Even if there is somebody out of the corner of their eye, who's noticing your posture get a little more aligned, watching you become a little more relaxed, maybe you will inspire them, right? Maybe you will inspire them. Maybe seeing you adjust your posture is just the reminder they needed that they can also adjust their own internal or external, you know, emotional or physical posture. And that is what we are here to do in the morning. And that is what Jewish ritual is, you know, is sort of taking the raw material of us and our life, and then through words, through motions, through values, through texts, through holidays, trying to help us arrive at new ways of seeing things, new perspectives. And gosh, Passover is a big one, but so is Jewish prayer every single morning. Every single morning. And so we arrive here no matter how we got here, how we got to this morning, this moment, and try to bring ourselves to a point of modeh, awareness. Just breathe in awareness of your body. Any places that might still feel tension or hurt, go ahead and roll your neck, your head, relax your shoulders. Oh, and then Ashrei and Baruch, blessing and joy. And finally, of course, hallelujah. And our friends from Nefesh Mountain brought us on that whole journey to hallelujah. And so I wanted to pick up from hallelujah. That's where I wanted to pick up. I wanted to look at a different text of gratitude this morning that we will all be staring at on Monday night. And that is Dayenu. And I want to do a tune that's a different tune from one you may be familiar with. But the reason to share this tune is because it actually makes use of the entire poem, which is longer than the usual Ilu Hotzianu Mimitzrayim, Ilu Natan Lanu Et HaTorah, Ilu Natan Lanu Et HaShabbat, Dai Dayenu. That's the song that I sang growing up and the song that I feel like is most done at Seders. There are other tunes, and some of them are far less happy clappy because, as it turns out, this piece of text, while thanking God for bringing us out of Egypt and giving us Torah and giving us Shabbos, also recounts the hard parts, the things that were gruesome and unglamorous, and not altogether good. And I wanted to look at this together. I'll read it out loud, and I want to sort of harvest reactions, because we'll see if maybe singing with a different tune this year, or maybe just, you know, for yourself to have this as a recording, feels meaningful this year. So here's how Dayenu actually goes, the whole thing. Alachat kama vakama, tova kufula, umekufelet lemakom aleinu. Each one of these good things would have been enough to earn our thanks. Dayenu. Colon. Shehotzianu mi Mitzrayim, v'asa behem shifatim, v'asa ve'elohehem, dayenu. V'harag et b'chorehem, v'natan lanu et mamonam, dayenu. V'kara lanu et hayam, v'he'evirenu b'tocho b'charava, v'shika tzarenu b'tocho, dayenu. I'll start at the beginning here. God took us out of Egypt, punished the oppressors, humiliated their gods, exposing their futility. Dayenu. God killed their firstborn when the Egyptians refused to release Israel, God's firstborn, and gave us some of the Egyptians' wealth, just compensation for our labor. There you can hear and see how the author here is editorializing a little bit. Dayenu. God divided the Red Sea for us, bringing us across on dry land while drowning our pursuers in the sea. Dayenu. V'siper tzarachinu b'midbar 40 shana ve'echilenu et haman. God supplied our needs for 40 years in the desert, feeding us manna. V'natan lanu et ha-shabbat. V'kerivanu lifnei har-sinai v'natan lanu et ha-torah. God granted us the Sabbath and brought us to Mount Sinai to receive Torah. V'hichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael v'bana lanu et beit ha-bechira v'chaper al avonotenu. God ushered us into Eretz Yisrael and later built us a temple, the chosen place to atone for our crimes and misdemeanors. Dayenu. How does this change the experience or the idea of Dayenu, it would have been enough for us. You brought us out of Egypt and you gave us the Torah and Shabbat. Dayenu, we're so happy. Thank you. How does this change that particular ritual that we're all going to be doing on Monday night?
It's something I've been thinking about a lot, like in a more context, which is that, you know, I think among liberal progressive Jews, there's been a real effort to kind of sanitize in some ways parts of what we sing and what we learn to make it, you know, not as as vengeful. And the problem is that I think, as we're seeing right now, it leads us to not understand in some ways parts of our own tradition and really grapple with them, right? Really grapple with this, right? But yes, also not understand the Jews who seem so crazy, like the more let me think of a better way of saying that. The more fundamentalist Jews who are actually really reading the text.
Who know the text, are reading the text and taking it literally.
Yeah, exactly. This speaks volumes.
I'm just going to read what Susanna said here. This seems to have us, as Rabbi B'nai Lappi puts it, own our shit, takes in the whole story.
I'm thinking about how that effort to sanitize our holy text and our tradition, like it also sort of feels like it feeds into internalized anti-Semitism and the need to be the perfect victim, and how that sort of can feel like a very self-protective stance in the immediate aftermath of trauma. Mm. I'm thinking about how the Haggadah was kind of put together sort of at a very tenuous time in Jewish history as well. There, you know, after the Bar Kokhba revolt and then into the Middle Ages, things were not so great for the Jews. And that, like, by denying these excerpts of text, we are also sort of like denying ourselves the fullness of our own trauma response, which then in turn makes healing from that trauma kind of impossible, because like you can't tend to a wound that you don't acknowledge exists.
I have a friend who I just talked to for the first time in a long time, although you've heard me saying her name during our healing prayer. I met her when we did our gap year in Israel in 1999 and 2000. And so she's my age and she's been diagnosed with breast cancer. And I asked her what from the Passover story, she's starting chemo next week. And I asked her what from the Passover story feels like it might be helpful spiritually for her right now, you know? And she thought for a second. One thing she said is something I've heard Ellen Bank say here in this space, which is, you know, the Jewish people, often the narrative we tell is one of persecution and oppression, pain and suffering. However, if we are here to tell the story, it is because our ancestors also had incredible resilience, creativity, and strength. And so rather than focusing on the parts of the story that are about our victimhood and our oppression, I need to focus on the parts that are about our creativity and faith. You know, not every Israelite believed they would get out of Egypt, and so some of them didn't leave. I don't know if we know this part of the story, but actually, like in the Torah, it says that the Israelites left chamushim, which it's not clear what that means exactly. So sometimes it's translated as laden, like laden with the goods that the Egyptians had given them in reparations to sort of like settle accounts so that they wouldn't be angry. But chamushim also is related to the word chamesh. And so some rabbis say, no, 1/5 of the Israelites in Egypt actually left. 1/5. That's it. The rest of them didn't believe. They didn't believe they'd get out. And they stayed and they went the way of the Egyptians. You know, it was really just a fraction. And so it's from that 1/5 that we are descended. You know, that tradition of strength, creativity, faith, believing in the impossible or in the highly improbable. So she said, but that's hard because like, ugh, you know, just by default, I feel like I am actually like those people. I'm not the one with the faith. I'm the one who kind of like wants to hedge my bets. You know, I don't want to get too excited about this treatment. What if it doesn't work? You know? And so one option based off of my having just come from the Mensch Academy and watching the kids, we baked matzah. So, you know, Nathan started the timer. They added the flour. They added the water, patted it into little things. They took a little fork, made the little things in it and stuck it in the oven and took it out within 18 minutes. And then the kids took their first bite of matzah, you know, like actual just flour and water from the oven, you know, without time to bake. And they were like, blech, this is disgusting. Ew. And I said to her, freedom doesn't necessarily feel good or taste good. You know, like we make it taste good now, but I think, you know, this process you're about to go through, it's going to hurt and it's going to be uncomfortable and hard, but you got to believe that it's for your benefit and for freedom for you and for your body, you know? And so like, I wouldn't wish this for anyone, but it's like Dayenu here says, our freedom doesn't come without the dark side, the hard side. And obviously, God, would it be amazing and wonderful if the world could just be all flowers and sunshine all the time for everyone? Yeah, of course. But that isn't the world we live in. And so, you know, I agree with everything that you've said here, you know, that there's something so important about acknowledging the truth and reality of all of the parts of our story. So I'm going to sing this for you. And by the way, all of the parts of our story that have really painful and hard implications for other people in their story, right? Someone else's Dayenu is going to sound really different from ours. This is ours. Feel free to sing along with me from your seat if you want. And here's what I'll say, actually. This is an important opportunity and a beautiful opportunity to use this as a healing prayer too, that somebody might go from Mitzrayim into openness, into freedom, into release from addiction, from pain, from suffering, from loneliness. So if you've got people that you're thinking of, go ahead and share their names.
Kama ma'alot tovot la'makom aleinu ilu hotzianu mi mitzrayim
The loss of a hamshipatim. I'm going to change the key. That's a horrible key for the morning for me. Oof. Oof. Let's fix that. Oh, that's going to be better.
Kama malotovo lamakom aleinu ilu hotzianu mimitzrayim velo asavahem shifatim.
Together,
dayenu ilu asavahem shifatim velo asav elohem. Dayenu ilu asav elohem velo haraget bechorehem. Dayenu ilu haraget bechorehem velo natan lanu et mamonam. Dayenu ilu natan lanu et mamonam velo kara lanu et hayam. Dayenu kama ma'alot tovot lamakom aleinu ilu kara lanu et hayam velo havireinu b'tocho b'charava. Dayenu ilu havirano b'tocho b'charava velo shikatzorenu b'tocho. Dayenu, 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 dayenu. I'm gonna go into the next page. Ilu natan lanu et hashabbat velo kervanu lifnei har sinai. Dayenu ilu kervanu lifnei har sinai velo natan lanu et hatorah. Dayenu ilu natan lanu et hatorah velo hichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael. Dayenu ilu hichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael velo bana lanu beit habechira. Dayenu kama ma'alot tovot lamakom aleinu. Dayenu, 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 dayenu.
Refuah shlema to every single person in your heart this morning, you're thinking about in your life, who needs to be released, who needs to be given a sense of enoughness. Dayenu. Refuah shlema. I guess I'm going to very efficiently do our basic biblical chiyuv to fulfill the saying of the Shema, and then we'll do Kaddish Yatom, Mourner's Kaddish, and then I have a little bit of learning for anybody. Like, we just did a little bit of learning, but I brought another thing if anybody wants to stick around for another 5 or 10 minutes. Thank you. Yeah, I believe that tune is Sephardic. I learned it from Hillel Tige, the Chazan at Ikar in Los Angeles. And Corey, in answer to your question, I've recorded it on a not good recording, probably as good as the recording here from Minyan. And I could try and find Hillel's. I feel like his is out there somewhere. When Ikar produced their CDs that had this on it, I think it was pre-Spotify. So I haven't seen their music on Spotify. But I will look for it, because it's just like so spot on, isn't it? It's like the right feeling for the piece of text.
All right, let's adjust our posture to whatever it is that's gonna let you take a deep breath in and connect with the oneness of the universe, the oneness and connectedness of yourself to all beings, past, present, and future, in that beautiful mystery we call God and oneness. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Shem Kabod Malchut Olam. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadvarim ha'ele, sher anochi mitzavecha, hayom al levavecha, v'shinantam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivtecha beveitecha, uvalechtecha v'derech, uvshochbecha uvkumecha, ukshartam le'ot al yadecha, v'hayu letotafot b'ninecha, וכתבתם על מזוזות פתח ובישרך. And you shall love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And these words which we speak together today shall be on your heart. Repeat them to your children when you speak of them, when you sit at home and when you walk along the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be symbols between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Wow. Just thinking this morning about the symbolism of the mezuzah on your gate, of course, in light of Passover, which is the holiday when we remember the angel of death passing over the houses where there was a mark of sheep's blood painted on the doorpost of your house. And there's something very like weird and macabre about that, to think like that mezuzah is a callback to that moment. But God, also how powerful to think every time you walk into a home, you could be a force for healing, for being the angel of life. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know? And so that's what we do now. You see a mezuzah, mwah, you kiss it, you know? It's like taking that love into your heart and walk into the house. Let us be that force of love. All right. We are going to go into Kaddish Yatom because it is 8:30 here. My, how the time flies when we're singing Dayenu. Who are we remembering this morning?
I'm remembering my mother, Muriel Kornblatt.
Yehi zichrona livracha. Glenn, are you interested in leading us in Kaddish Yatom this morning?
Sure. Yitgadal v'yitgadash shemei rabah. V'yamal divrach yurteh v'yamlich malchuteh. V'chayechon v'yomechon v'chayeh d'chal beit Yisrael. V'agalah v'zman kari v'imru. Amen. Yehe Shmei Rabba Mavarach Le'alam Ulamei Amaya. Yitbarach V'yishtabach V'yitpa'ar V'yitraman V'yitnase V'yitadar V'yitaleh V'yitalal Shmei Dekudashah Berichu Le'ela Min Kol Birchata V'shirata Tushbechata V'nechemata Damiran V'yama V'imru Amen. Yehe Shlama Rabba Min Shamaya V'chayim Aleinu V'yalkol Yisrael V'imru Amen. Useh shalom bimramav, uyaseh shalom, aleinu v'yalkol Yisrael, v'yalkol yoshvei tevel, v'imru, amen.
Amen. Yehi zichrona livracha, yehi zichronam livracha. And yeah, and I guess for the sake of ending on a high note, Ilu hotzi anu mi mitzrayim, hotzi anu mi mitzrayim, dai. Have a great rest of your week, everyone.
You've been listening to Contact High, a production of Mishkan Chicago. If you were inspired or informed by this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts so that others can encounter our work. And if you appreciate what Mishkan is doing, I invite you to join as a builder or make a donation on our website at mishkanchicago.org. Shabbat Shalom.